Good morning. I'm Mary Kinzel, and I'm your liturgist this morning. Our first scripture is Genesis 12, 1 through 9. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, your father's household, for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you." Abram left just as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of their possessions, and those who became members of their household in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as the sacred place of Shechem at the Oak of Moriah, and the Canaanites lived in the land at that time. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I give this land to your descendants." So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. From there he traveled towards the mountains east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and worshiped in the Lord's name. Then Abram sent out toward the arid southern plain, making and breaking camp as he went. Our next scripture is Matthew 9, 9 through 26. As Jesus continued on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a kiosk for collecting taxes. He said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. As Jesus sat down to eat in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Go on and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners." At that time, John's disciples came and asked Jesus, Why do we and the Pharisees frequently fast, but your disciples never fast?" Jesus responded, The wedding guests can't mourn while the groom is still with them, can they? But the days will come when the groom will be taken away from them, and then they'll fast. No one sews a piece of new, unshrunk cloth on old clothes, because the patch tears away the cloth and makes a worse tear. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. If they did, the wineskins would burst, the wine would spill, and the wineskins would be ruined. Instead, people pour new wine into new wineskins so that both are kept safe. While Jesus was speaking to them, a ruler came and knelt in front of him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and place your hand on her and she'll live." So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Then a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his cloth. She said, "If I only touched his robe, I'd be healed." When Jesus turned and saw her, he said, "Be encouraged, daughter, your faith has healed you." And the woman who was healed from that time on. When Jesus went into the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the distressed crowd. He said, "Go away, because a little girl isn't dead, but is asleep." And they laughed at him. After he went in and touched her hand, the little girl rose up. News about this spread throughout the whole region.
Let us pray. Lord God, help us to be focused on what your Spirit wants us to receive today. Let us not worry or think about the things that will come or the things that have happened before that got us here, Lord, but help us to be centered in this place, in this moment, attentive to your word, attentive to what your Spirit would have for us, so that we may go forth renewed, reshaped, and challenged. And all the beloved said, amen. So today we're going to be looking at Abram. In Genesis chapter 12, we read about Abram's call. Abram is probably one of the most important historical figures in Scripture, so much so that after God changes his name to Abraham, every generation after him, when they called upon the name of the Lord, they said, I come to you in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph. Remembering the founder of faith, the one who was called the friend of God first, the one who received the title of father of faith. But we're looking at this because everybody's journey starts somewhere. Glory doesn't just fall upon people, they have to step into it. When Abram didn't just become the father of faith, he received a call, a simple notice of God, go. And he was transformed through following God. The transformation didn't start before and then go. The transformation started in him doing the work, in him following God's heart. The faith was active in him. So we're going to see how that occurred in him and how we might resemble that call in our lives to live into Pentecost. We're still in the series of Pentecost, and how that Spirit of God, the same one that called Abraham and Sarah, is the same one that calls us. So first we need to look at where Abram was from. Abram lived in Babylon. 200 years prior to Abram's calling was the power of Babylon built. Not very many years, not very many generations. And God saw them building the Tower of Babylon and said, all the people have united and nothing can stop them from doing anything of their imagination when they're united together. And their imaginations were what? Wicked at every moment. So they were seeking to have power above God. And God said, let us step down and intervene. So God steps down into Babylon, destroys the tower, and then separates everyone's languages. And Terah, who is Abram's father, received a call from God to go. And he didn't leave Babylon. He didn't leave the comfort. He stayed. And then God tells Abraham, Abram, go. And Abram, unlike his father, wasn't worried about the comforts of home, wasn't worried about what other people would think about him packing up his stuff, wasn't thinking about what everyone else was worried about, his comforts, where he was going, it was the land taken care of, what, did he have a home, did he have a car? He wasn't worried about these things. All he knew was, God told me to go, and God said he would bless me, and then I would be a blessing to others, so I have to go. So he picks up Sarai, his wife, and he picks up all his cattle and all his belongings, and he takes Lot with him. And that is not a slight. I have heard from behind this pulpit how him taking Lot was a sin, and how him taking Lot was an error that caused many things after that wouldn't have occurred, challenges and hardships of life if he wouldn't take him Lot. Are children worth hardships? Is there anyone that would say no? Thank you. Lot was his child. It was his brother's son, but his brother passed away. So Abram was caring for Lot, taking him in as a family, an adopted child. And yes, that adopted child threw some tantrums and had some fits. But Abram showed the nurturing care of God by taking Lot with him. It's not something he did in error. It's not something that went against God. It was something out of love and compassion. And God is love. And all of us can resemble that. All of us realize that there are people in our lives that we take in, that we hold close, knowing that they sometimes mess up and we're right there beside them. And Abram wasn't quiet about his faith. Abram didn't practice his faith in secret. Abram didn't hide the fact of the God he worshiped. Everywhere Abram went, he built offerings. He planted flags. He said, "This is the why I'm going. I'm giving praise to the God who sent me." He was radically visible in his faith. When the Spirit of God enters into us, there is a radical change that takes place that the whole world can see. It's not something that we're like, okay, I'm in my room, I'm quiet, now I will praise God, and then I step into my family and I'm somebody else, and I step into work and I'm somebody else, and I go to the grocery store and I'm somebody else. Wherever we are, we're Christians. Whatever we do, we're identified as Christians. How we hold ourselves, the words we say, the actions we do, these hold us accountable to the Christ that we serve. And we should never apologize for that transformation. That transformation gives us the ability to love others. It gives us the ability to show the love of God to people. The same command that Abram had, go and be a blessing, is the same command that we have, go and show all the world. It's broken. Minister to the poor. Heal the sick. Feed the poor. Minister to the broken. Be that transformation. Don't be silent. Don't be invisible. We're called to publicly speak out against hatred, indifference, unkindness, injustice. We're supposed to tear down systems of oppression. We can't do that hiding in secret. And Abram's life showed that. Yes, Abram had horrific mistakes on his journey, but he also had profound glories. When he went to Egypt, the entire city, the entire nation said, "We will also worship this God," after he corrected himself. He built relationships with people that would never have followed God, and he showed them how great God was. All throughout Canaan, everywhere he went, he would go into the community. He would become part of that, and he would minister and teach them and show them the way. When the five kings went down and they went into Sodom and they took everyone as slaves, it was Abraham who went down with his 70 troops and destroyed five armies and freed those captives. And when Lot decided that he no longer wanted to be Abraham's son, but he wanted to take his own love substance and go somewhere else, Abram took of his inheritance and split it and gave it to Lot and said, "Okay, you're now an adult. Here's what I have to give you. Go and do." And then when he realized that Lot had messed up, God's having a conversation with Abram. Abram's like, "Wait, my son, my nephew's down there. Would you do it for 10? Would you do it for 40? Would you do it for 50? And he kept bargaining with God to the point where even if Abraham would have said one person, it still would have been terrible. There was not a righteous soul. Lot was not righteous. But to the point where, and then having that conversation with God, that God personally went into Sodom and Gomorrah and told Lot, "Hey, come on, let's go. I'm taking you out of the city." And it wasn't for Lot's sake. It was for Abraham's. Abraham's love was so much that God changed his mind. That God's love reached out into a place to pull people out. Okay, do we have a heart, a profound love for people, so much so that we can change the mind of God? That we can say, "Not on my watch. No person will suffer. It doesn't matter who." Abram had an encounter with God that broke all habits. It uprooted his trajectory. It was extreme and unrecognizable. Is that how our life is? If someone that knew us before we came to Christ came and saw us now, would they think we're the same, or would they be able to no longer recognize us? And Abram realized, and we need to realize, it doesn't happen in our own willpower. We can't do it alone. It's the Holy Spirit that sheds the love abroad upon our hearts. That every place that Abraham stepped out, he stepped out in faith, not knowing the destination. We don't always know where we're going. We don't always know what our purpose is, but we know our purpose is to love people and to love God. And it is God who called us into this city in Boise, Idaho, to change things. In 2016, homelessness became illegal in the city of Idaho. Prior to that, every place you would go, every city, when they were talking about how to deal with people that suffered from houselessness, they would say, we want to be like Boise, Idaho. We want to share the unhoused, show the unhoused they belong in the way that Boise does. And I was on a missionary trip in San Francisco, and they were praising Boise on how well they did it. I had to raise my hand, and I said, excuse me, that's no longer the case. It's now illegal to be houseless in Boise. You will be arrested. And they were in utter shock on how that happened. And they were confused. And that's 10 years ago. And if you still go to places like Portland or San Francisco or Seattle, they'll still go back and say, but doesn't Boise have? And I'm like, no, it no longer does. And they still remember. That's the profoundness that change happens. When people act in love, people remember. It strikes a chord. It's something that can't be broken. When we go into the grocery store and we give someone a hand, that's a chord that can't be broken. They remember that moment of kindness, that love that was showed. When we're on the workplace or family gatherings, people remember that love. And it's us that brings it to them. Abraham had a simple call, a profound message. Go to a land that I will show you. Go and be a blessing to all people. And we receive the same command in the Gospels. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go feed the poor, heal the sick, loose the chains of injustice, be witnesses until the end of the earth. Let me close by asking you a simple question. And this is a question for every single person here, including me. If your faith were put on trial today, would there be enough public evidence to convict you? Or is it so private, so hidden, and so safe that nobody, your job or your neighborhood, even knows that you are called by God? Is it private or is it public? Is the love of God pouring out through you in every situation, or are you hiding? There's been enough hiding. The church hid in the background. In the 1940s, the church hid. In the 1960s, the church hid. In the 1970s, the church hid. In 2001, the church hid. In 2011, the church hid. In January 2016, the church hid. The church can no longer stay in hiding. Our voices matter, because it's God's voice that speaks through us. It's God's love that pours out, and the people are wanting and they are waiting. And as long as we remain silent, injustice will continue. It is our place to stop the mouths of those that subvert the gospel, to lift up our hands, to reach out our hands to those that need help, and to give them a step up. Because that is what Jesus did in every single situation. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for your love, your action towards us. Though we ask that you place that same command in our hearts today, let us receive the command, go. Let us pick up our cross and follow after you, not counting the price. Help us to live into your transformation. And all the beloved said, Amen.